Well, I don't think it'll be any surprise what we kick off the Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable with Pat Steinberg, Ryan Pinder, and now Derek Wills joins us from California. Just before we kick it off, though, Derek Wills and Floyd Mayweather, or just Willsy?
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm here with my personal security guard, Ken Thrower. I thought
Brad,
Floyd Mayweather had the money team protecting him over at the Shell, and they were staring me down when I was thinking about taking a photo of him in his pimped out Mercedes SUV, I thought, you know what? I should probably have security, because if someone wants to take a picture of me, I'll stick Thrower on him. I'll take care of it.
Say hi to Thrower for us. That is very good.
Say hi, Thrower.
Hi, Thrower.
Hey, I'm bodyguard. I can't talk.
Oh, he can't talk. He's a bodyguard. Very professional.
Well, Brad, I wasn't really paying attention there. I was just getting a handful of popcorn.
Must have been a Red Deer goal. Hey, look at the scoreboard. Huh?
And not a surprise to see that Floyd Mayweather drives a G-Wagon. That doesn't surprise me one bit. Okay.
And by the way, boys, he wasn't pumping his own gas.
No, that doesn't surprise me.
The money team there to do that. Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not a bad life he lives. Not a bad life. Okay, let's get into it. Another tough game last night between the pipes for Mike Smith. Derek, I think this story has come to a head at this point. The team unable to bail him out this time around. If you're the Flames, what do you do with Mike Smith?
You know, it's a great question, Pat. And quite frankly, they were probably a little bit unlucky not to bail him out last night. I thought the Flames were the better of the two teams again. Certainly, they were in the final 40 minutes. And, you know, they outshoot the Ducks 17-3 in the third period. Finally tie the game up on a shorthanded goal by Mark Jankowski. And then less than 30 seconds later, Ryan Getzlaf scores and the Flames can't get that goal back. But what to do with Mike Smith? I guess that's the hot topic of the day, and it probably should be, because we're almost at the quarter pole here, and things aren't really getting better. I mean, that first goal last night, that was really tough. I didn't love the second goal, to be honest with you. I know some people were upset about the third goal. I didn't have as big a problem with that, but it's a good question. I mean, I think short-term, you probably go to David Rittich against the Kings tomorrow and see how that goes, and then decide from there what you're going to do against the Sharks on Sunday. But, you know, it's something he's going to have to work through. Whether he works through that in games, which doesn't seem to be working, or potentially works through it in practice and spend some more time watching video with Jordan Sigalette and trying to get back to where he needs to be technically and mentally, maybe that's another way to approach it.
We keep saying working through. I brought this up earlier. That implies that he will return to strong form in the NHL. Do you have any doubts that he'll ever look like a number one goal in the NHL again? He is turning 37 in the spring. This is around the age where guys disappear out of the league and either surface elsewhere or stop playing hockey.
I mean, it can happen quickly, Ryan. I've heard that from a number of goaltenders who late in their career had a big drop off in play, and their career didn't last a heck of a lot longer. But let's not forget how good Mike Smith was last season. He was an NHL All-Star. He looked like an elite goaltender in the first half of the season. And his play started to slip a little bit before that injury that kept him out for a month. And then he came back, and you know, the team in front of him wasn't playing very well. There was a lot of pressure on all the players right in the middle of a playoff race. And I'm not sure he was 100% physically or mentally, and the rest of the season didn't go well for him or the Flames. But, you know, he's looked good in a couple of games this season and good at times in other games this season. Obviously, he was at the top of his game in that shutout victory of the Predators. Looked really good against the Bruins as well. But you know, I think you really hit the nail on the head yesterday, Ryan, when you talked about him just looking a little anxious, a little uncomfortable in his net. And I think that's probably more mental than physical. This guy is a physical specimen. I'm not sure that that's really what's holding him back right now. I think it's more between the ears for him.
Yeah, no, it does just look, he's not comfy until he gets a lot of shots. And I actually thought he was pretty good in the final 40 minutes. He made some big saves. Mm-hmm. The Ducks did miss some nets in tight that they could have gone even further ahead, but he had one off the tip of his glove that sent a puck wide, another couple on scrambles around the net. I'm like, okay, if that was in the first period, I feel like that would have gone in. It's just he seemingly needs to feel the puck a bit before he settles down.
Yeah, and I mean, he felt that first one that beat him, and unfortunately didn't feel enough of it as it squirted through and slowly went into the net. But it really is strange, and it's kind of hard to watch him right now, because even when he is stopping the puck, he doesn't necessarily look comfortable or confident doing it. And I guess that's the most alarming thing for me. But you know, confidence is certainly something that can come and go pretty quickly. And I really believe that if Mike Smith were to have one really good game from start to finish, and it doesn't have to be a big 43-save shutout or anything along those lines, but if he has a solid game from start to finish, maybe it's against the Kings Saturday, maybe it's against the Sharks Sunday, maybe it's when the Flames get home. But that's what he really needs to start to build his confidence back up again, because I think, and then this is just my opinion, but I think that's his biggest problem right now. He's lost his confidence.
Here's my biggest issue with what I've seen from Mike Smith. He just isn't giving them true number one goaltending. If he is a bona fide, no questions asked number one, then you expect to save from him on the game-winning goal. They allowed three shots in the third period. You need a save there 27 seconds after you fight back to tie it. And so I think that's the biggest issue I have right now. It's not necessarily the individual goals that are going in. It's the amount of goals going in and how it looks like every pretty quality chance has a chance of getting in the back of the net. And that's why I think for now I'm not necessarily looking at this as just a game by game situation anymore. For me, Derek, it's kind of like, okay, give David Rittich an opportunity to play some more and see what he can do over a longer stretch of time, and during that time see if Mike Smith can work through some of these problems. Like if we're talking about the next four or five games, I think David Rittich should be the starter in the next four or five. Like if he's going to start for the next five, that's kind of where I think this team needs to fall, to see what Rittich can do and see if that time will help Mike Smith to maybe get his game back on track.
Well, I'm not sure I'd go in that direction, at least not yet, Pat, but I certainly understand where you're coming from. I would give David Rittich the start against the Kings on Saturday. Let's see how he does. If he plays well, then maybe it's a win and you stay in type of thing. And we've seen that a number of times in the past 5 years, even with the Flames, whether it be Jonas Hiller and Kari Ramo or Brian Elliott and Chad Johnson. So maybe it's a situation where, at least in the short term, if a guy goes in and plays well and the team wins, he goes right back in again, and you create a bit of internal competition there between Smith and Rittich. I think eventually Smith will find his game and will become this team's, no questions asked, number one goaltender again. But right now, David Riddick's given them a better chance to win hockey games. And in a Pacific Division that's tight from top to almost bottom, every single point matters right now. So if Rittich gives you a better chance to pick up points, then you probably want to give him more starts than you normally would.
That's where we're at right now. I mean, you could talk about team play in front of both of them when it wasn't good. Rittich was better. You can talk about since they've tightened it up, Riddick's still been better. You can look at the body of the work over the entire season. One guy is performing at an NHL level and one guy isn't. I mean, I don't know how much more runway this guy has earned unless Riddick's going to stumble with the baton here.
Well, Rittich, don't forget, has been way better on the road than at home. So maybe the next two games are good games to get him in and give him a chance to help the Flames come home 500 or better on this road trip. And then maybe you go back to Smith at home, because Rittich, for whatever reason, seems to have a bit of a mental hurdle playing at Scotiabank Saddledome. At least he has to this point in his career. Now, that's something that he's going to have to overcome. So maybe that's what Bill Peters decides to do.
So the Mike Smith issue and the goaltending issue is the number one issue in Flamesland right now. But here's another one that I think is very interesting, and I think goaltending plays its part in this. But the Flames are a great third period team that is very well established, lead the league in third period comebacks, lead the league in third period goals, so on and so forth. But 12 of 16 games this year, or 75% of the time, they have found themselves with a deficit entering the final 40 minutes. Derek, I know that not every situation is the same, but how do they go about changing that trend?
Well, starting better is going to be a key. And even last night, I thought they were certainly the better of the two teams in the final 40 minutes. Were they in the first 20? Probably not. I don't think there was a big gap between them and the Ducks in the first period last night. But you know, the Ducks did outshoot the Flames in that first period, did outscore them in the first period. And the game looked like it was being played mud, which is exactly where the Ducks wanted it to be. The Flames want to play fast. The Ducks have learned this season that they just can't play fast, at least not at this point in time. So they've kind of gone back to what they were in the past. They've gone back to a team that's had tremendous success during the regular season, but hasn't been able to get it done in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And you know, they just couldn't keep up with the Sharks in the playoffs last year. And that's why they got bounced as quickly as they did. So They tried to change the way they played. It wasn't working. John Gibson and Ryan Miller were getting absolutely peppered because the team just couldn't get the puck out of the defensive zone and couldn't figure out how to play the game faster. So now they've gone back to being the big bad Ducks. And, you know, we were talking about it on the bus ride from Anaheim to Los Angeles last night. They're a team that's better than any other team in the National Hockey League at getting away with things, whether it be picks or hooks or holds or whacks or hacks. They are experts at getting away with things. So, you know, they made life difficult for the Flames, especially in the first period last night. But the way the Flames were able to take the game over in the final 40 minutes was pretty impressive. But if they could play that way from the start of games, then they're not going to fall behind. Now, I'll say this. In the last five or six games where the Flames have fallen behind, they didn't necessarily deserve to fall behind in those games, whether it be them running into a hot goaltender, a little bit of good puck luck for their opponent, bad puck luck for them. They've been the better of the two teams during this last five or six game stretch. So I think it's more of a statistical anomaly of late that they've been behind so often. But moving forward, starting from the drop of the puck in the first period and being at your best from that point and moving forward, that's the best way to stop falling behind all the time.
Yeah, and they haven't got saves early either. I mean, you go look at the Chicago-Colorado games, like they just haven't got saves. So I understand starting strong, but that's got to include the goalie. Even Riddick, who's been good early on, wasn't sensational against Chicago on a really, really light night of work. So, yeah, it's not the way you want to win. It's always fun when they go that way, but that is certainly not a template that you want to live by. It would be nice to have some in cruise control after 40 where you're up rather than the mad scramble where everything has to go right and Kachuk tips one in with an empty net behind. I mean, it's happened three times they've done that, but that is not going to last. You're not going to score every other time you pull your goalie or better.
Well,
and to your point, Ryan, if Smith doesn't give up that goal 8 minutes in last night, where does that game go?
I think they get 2 points if that one doesn't go in. I really do, because it just sapped them. And even the second one I didn't love, but if that's the only one that you can kind of raise an eyebrow at, fair enough. I don't know. It's been really tough with Smith.
Well, and it's actually, when you think about it, and they're sitting 9-6-1, and they have trailed going into the third period 75% of the time. Like, it's actually pretty amazing when you think about it that they're sitting at 9-6-1 right now.
Yes.
It is, because they were so inconsistent in front of their goaltenders early in the season, and now they've been incredibly consistent in front of them for, you know, since that 9-1 loss to the Penguins, and they're still finding ways to win despite the fact that their goaltending's been way below league average as far as save percentage is concerned. So, again, we talked about this yesterday, fellas. If they can just get average goaltending, and if they can get average special teams, this is going to be a really, really good team. But those are the two areas that the Flames have to continue to work on. Power play's been better, so that's good. The penalty kill needs to improve, too.
And again, to hammer the point home that everyone understands, they have got NHL average goaltending from one of their two guys. The other's been dreadful.
Like, yeah.
It's really obvious what direction they have to go in the short term, and we're all on the same page there.
Okay, so final topic today, gentlemen, and this is, on the one hand, it's a really positive thing because the Flames are scoring. They've scored 54 goals this season. Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, Matthew Tkachuk, Elias Lindholm, Michael Backlund, Mark Giordano. They have gotten good performances from their best players. But depending on how you look at it and how you define the bottom six, the Flames have scored just 10 goals from their bottom six forward so far this season. And Derek, remember how much of an issue that was last year, secondary scoring. So is this a worry that they have not gotten a lot of secondary scoring, or not so much because what they've gotten from their top six has been outstanding?
It's not a huge concern for me, Pat, because even though the goals haven't been there, the shots and the chances have been. And they've had some guys in their bottom six who have been snake-bitten. Dylan Dubé is probably at the top of the list. I mean, he could easily have four or five goals, and he doesn't have one. It was great to see Mark Jankowski score his first goal of the season last night, and that reminded me of the Mark Jankowski we saw in preseason and early in the regular season last year, where he played an assertive brand of hockey, and he's got a great shot, and I wish he'd use it more. And maybe now that he's got his first goal out of the way, he will start shooting the puck more and scoring more goals. But, you know, those guys have been a little bit snake-bitten. Sam Bennett's been snake-bitten during long stretches this season. So at least the bottom six is contributing and helping the team win hockey games. Now, do I think that they need to contribute a bit more offensively and finish some of the chances that they've been creating? Absolutely, because there's going to be a stretch at some point in time here. And it's probably not going to be a long one, because the Flames' top six is really, really good. But there is going to be a stretch where those guys cool off a little bit offensively, and that's where you're going to need your bottom six forwards and even your defensemen to pick up the slack and score some goals and produce some points. So still, I'm not overly concerned about it because of the way they're playing, but you would like to see more results from some of that good play.
I'm with you. Yeah, I can't agree more. It's not the biggest issue now because we just spent 20 minutes talking about goaltending and most of the day on this radio station, but it is something where you're going to need it, and it might not be short-term, but at some point this year, you're going to need it, and I've liked a lot of things that we've seen in the bottom mm-hmm. six, but they've also been getting the old blender out on that bottom six a ton. There's not a lot of game-to-game continuity in those third and fourth lines.
Now, it depends how you look at it, because if you put Michael Frolik in the bottom six
well, he
and
didn't score
replace
his goals
him
there.
With... That's true. He scored them in the top six. But again, depends how you look at it. But I would say about 10 goals of the 54 have come from the bottom six group. But I do think you're right, Derek. They have played some pretty good hockey. I've liked what I've seen from Bennett. There's been some good play from Dubé. I think they might get a little bit more offense if Zarnik stays in the lineup a little bit more. So I do think there's some positive signs in the way that bottom six is trending.
Oh, absolutely. And now that James Neal's in the top six, maybe there will be a little bit more stability in the bottom six. Certainly, once they get Dylan Dubé back and once Garnet Hathaway's a bit closer to 100%, I think you will see some more stability in your bottom six. And how Austin Zarnik fits in, we'll have to wait and see. I thought he had a pretty good game last night. Didn't get a ton of ice time, but I thought he made the most of the ice time he did, and I definitely think he's someone who can help the second power play. I think he's going to be a better fit there than Derek Ryan, but I guess only time will tell. But, you know, another part of the story last night that's probably been overshadowed because of it being a tough first period for Mike Smith, the Flames had a lot of shots and a lot of chances, guys. Mm-hmm. And they missed too many opportunities in front of their goaltender as well. I mean, yep. Michael Backlund missed a wide-open net, and he wasn't the only one that failed to capitalize on a chance. So it was a tough loss, and that damn building, for whatever reason, does seem to be cursed for the Flames because it doesn't matter how they play. If they play great, if they play horribly, the result always seems to be the same at Honda Center. But, yeah, certainly lots of storylines right now, but we do have to remind ourselves that this is a team that's off to a really good start this season, and if they can clean up a couple of areas, they're going to be a tough team to beat.
All right, buddy. Go enjoy your day off in California, my friend. We will talk to you again tomorrow.
Drink a tea for Pat, too.
Yeah, you know what, Pat? A little throat coat tea will help you there, bud. Put some honey and some lemon in it.
It's a bad move.
Use Peter Marr's old trick, maybe a little bit of vinegar. Doesn't taste good, but it does work. And I hope you start feeling better. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
See you, pal.